The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
WWTC Minneapolis St. Paul, FM 107.5, K298CO Minneapolis, Intelligent Radio.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Jackie Quinn reports on the formal signing of the bills to avert a government shutdown.
President Biden signed a package of government spending bills that head off the prospect of a shutdown this weekend. The president, in signing the stopgap legislation, is thanking leaders from both parties for keeping the government funded. At a meeting last month, he noted the danger of allowing a shutdown.
A shutdown would damage the economy significantly, and I think we all agree to that.
This package helps fund the hiring of more air traffic controllers, housing assistance for veterans, and other programs. Congressional negotiators are working on a second package, including defense spending, in an effort to have all federal agencies fully funded by March 22nd. I'm Jackie Quinn.
And this is SRN News.
Charlie Kirk believes we're seeing unprecedented behavior.
This is not an exaggeration. This is not hyperbole. This is an attempt to nullify the United States Constitution. This is not justice, everybody. This is seething, neurotic revenge. Revenge against Donald J. Trump for even daring to run for the presidency.
The Charlie Kirk Show, weeknights at 11 on AM 1280, The Patriot, Intelligent Radio.
Being kind can get you paid. It's our Kindness Challenge Sweepstakes at AM1280ThePatriot.com. Click on the Kindness Challenge Sweepstakes banner for your chance to win $2,500 for yourself and an additional $2,500 in your name to a deserving organization. Enter to win today at AM1280ThePatriot.com. Today's high, 42 degrees and sunshine. Tonight's low, 24. And tomorrow for your Sunday, sunny with a high of 50. You're listening to AM1280ThePatriot.
The following program was pre-recorded, and the views expressed do not necessarily represent those of this station or its management.
This is the Northern Alliance Radio Network, the longest-running conservative talk show in the Twin Cities.
It's great to be back in Minnesota today.
Political analysis of the good, the bad, and the outright crazy. Now, here's your headline act, Mitch Berg.
Welcome back, Twin Cities and world. It's the Wind Beneath the Right Wing, the show that's making talk radio great again, the Northern Alliance Radio Network. 20-year anniversary is upon us. Oh, much more on that later on the broadcast here. We'll be talking about that. This broadcast has just passed into year 21. Last Wednesday was the 20th anniversary of this broadcast's first ever episode. And for a show that was supposed to last 6 weeks, perhaps, and get quietly shoved down the memory hole by station management, if not by the participants, here we are. We had many critics over the years, and to paraphrase the boss, we're still here. They're all gone. We'll talk about that a little later on. I'm not going to lie. I know, I remember when the other talk station, the progressive talk station farther down the dial from us, not the boutique talk station. No, they're good friends of ours. No, I'm talking about the liberal talk station that used to run the late unlamented Air America, tried to do the same thing, tried to put a bunch of progressive bloggers on the air to compete with us, or to quote, compete with, I'm making the scare quotes in the air, compete with us. And that lasted about 2 weeks because they stank. At any rate, we're still here. Much more on that later on in the broadcast, including, at long last, our 10th anniversary party, technically speaking. We'll give you details in the second hour here. There's a cliffhanger for you, isn't there? Last week, we talked about the precinct caucuses, which are, of course, an annual tradition in Minnesota politics. It used to be where the endorsement process for everything on the ballot really started. Well, that's morphed because it changes in state law now, and state election law now. The primary is what selects the candidates on the ballot, and caucuses are mostly there for purposes of getting people to go to district and congressional district, and finally the state conventions. And as I talked about last week, caucuses were, shall we say, not overcrowded. That's probably a nice neutral way to put it. Caucuses were, they had ample room. As I talked about in my particular precinct, Senate district, 65 in the middle of St. Paul, which, to be fair, is one of the most Democrat districts in the state of Minnesota, perhaps one of the most Democrat districts in the United States, and may have been one of the most left-leaning districts in the Soviet Union before 1990. Again, I'm editorializing here, but the turnout was, well, just to demonstrate, a typical year it would have 90 to 100 people showing up, a regular everyday caucus where there'd be a straw poll and not working on endorsing Senate candidates and House candidates, obviously House candidates every go-round, and occasionally governor and taking a straw poll for president. That's 100. A couple times, 2012, for example, the height of the Ron Paul years, and 2016, Donald Trump's first go-round, the crowds were bigger, probably 250, 300 people in 2012. Similar in 2008 with Ron Paul's first run. All those libertarian college kids turned out in droves once, maybe twice. God love them. Some of them stuck around. 500 people turned out in 2016 for Donald Trump, although Marco Rubio actually won my precinct and Minnesota that year. This past caucus time, 25 people out of a normal 100 and a rare 300 to 500. Just because there's no straw poll, which is what, let's be honest, drew most of the people. I mean, it's great. It's meaningless, but it had great marketing for the party. We could live without it, and clearly the party did. Let's just say it was not hard to get elected as a delegate. It was harder to find people to run as delegates, and boy, I had to do a little bit of genial arm twisting. But that's fine. It's all come and gone, and we're off to the Senate District Convention here in a couple of weeks. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to meeting a small selection of my smarter neighbors. That's all good. It all led up to the primaries. Completely disconnected from same, but that's fine. And there were some interesting results. Now, one of the bits of conventional wisdom is that primary turnout, or caucus turnout, but in this case primary turnout, is something of a bellwether for the general election. And that's going to be, we'll see. The Republican turnout was a good 25% ahead of the Democrat turnout. Now, with a small exception that turned into a huge exception, there was no real suspense on the Democrat side. Everyone knows who's going to be running for president. It's going to be the potato. And I'm sorry, that was not charitable of me. It was President Potato. And respect the office, not the man. I get it. There's no Senate race. There's no governor's race. There's no Minnesota State Senate race. Even it's pretty much just the Minnesota House that's up for grabs, along with the presidency. There's no straw poll for president. Most people would have a hard time naming their local representative, their district representative, in a pinch. Honestly, I have to think about it kind of hard myself. At any rate, there was very little suspense on the Democrat side. Everyone knew Joe Biden's going to be nominated. There was not much more suspense, however, on the Republican side. I mean, Nikki Haley was still in the race. Ron DeSantis was still on the ballot, and I did, in fact, vote for him. I'm already on Team DeSantis 28. Have his people call my people. I'm there for you. I think he's the guy to look forward to here in 28, but that's just me. At any rate, Donald Trump ran away with it, of course. I mean, it wasn't even close. He ran away with everything Super Tuesday. It was very, very clear Wednesday morning that Nikki Haley was going to be was going to be exiting the race one way or the other. Really, her path out of the race was paved once the Supreme Court said, yeah, you're going to be on the ballots in all 50 states. That was really Nikki Haley's only chance to get anywhere in the race, was because she'd be the only person to be on enough ballots to actually rack up the votes. That went away on Tuesday night, and then Wednesday morning, so did Nikki Haley. By the way, I don't get a lot of the Republican hate for Nikki Haley. She wasn't as conservative as some of the other candidates. She's certainly not as conservative as Ron DeSantis, but her heritage score is to the right of Donald Trump. Heritage, the heritage conservative scorecard is a pretty reliable gauge of how far to the right or not someone is. Mitt Romney, not a really great score at all. Donald Trump, solidly to the left, slightly to the left of the middle of the pack, although, again, he had a very conservative administration, thank goodness. Nikki Haley's to the right of both of them. So I don't quite get the Republican hate. I'm sure people will set me straight on that. But Donald Trump ran away with it. Now, what made the Democratic race interesting, and you have not seen, you've seen some media play on this here, but you could also hear that swoosh, swoosh sound of the story being swept under the rug here. Here in Minnesota, the vote for uncommitted came in at 18%, just shy of 20% of the vote in the Minnesota primary. Biden got 70%. Second place was uncommitted. And Dean Phillips came in a solid distant third. And he again withdrew from the race the next day after being hounded mercilessly by every Democrat who, being great supporters of democracy, could not bear the thought of anybody running against their anointed one. At any rate, now what's behind the uncommitted vote? That's an amazingly large uncommitted vote. And the reason for that is the far left, anti-Semitic, pro-Palestine crowd is say they're not going to vote for Joe Biden unless he comes around on pushing Israel to a ceasefire. And that move has teeth. The huge part of the DFL voting base in their most important sinecure here in the state, the Metro, I mean, it was not 80-20. In one district, this is down at the Coyle Community Center across from Riverside Plaza in a place that some people perhaps less than sensitively refer to as Little Mogadishu, the vote came in Joe Biden, 19.9%, uncommitted, 74.8%. These are people who are driving President Biden to try and cut Israel loose and come in to support Hamas in some form or another. And he heard them. Oh, yes, he did. Now, for the 21st year in a row, I did not watch the State of the Union. I detest the entire exercise. It's a nod to monarchy that America shouldn't observe. And if I were elected president tomorrow, or in 2028 by some exceedingly unlikely miracle, I would abolish the State of the Union speech. I'd send a letter, perhaps a TikTok, to Congress describing the State of the Union, saying, feel free to leave a comment in the comments or give us a call at 651-289-4488. And I'll comment on it. But this is the State of the Union. This is all. This meeting could be happened in an email, as the kids are always saying. And the president is responding to that uncommitted vote, which, by the way, came in around 20% nationwide. This was the bit at the State of the Union address that, in retrospect, cut three, by the way, made my jaw drop, literally. Cut three.
Tonight, I'm directing the U.S. military to lead an emergency mission to establish a temporary pier in the Mediterranean on the coast of Gaza.
What?
And to receive large shipments carrying food, water, medicine, and temporary shelters. No U.S. boots will be on the ground. A temporary pier will enable a massive increase in the amount of humanitarian assistance getting into Gaza every day.
No American. First of all, the Israelis don't want this. Second of all, no American should want this, because when he says no boots will be on the ground, little hint. Anti-ship missiles, drones, killer drones, kamikaze drones, Katyusha rockets, they can fly offshore. They're talking about building a floating pier, an amphibious base, if you will, 3 miles offshore in the middle of just barely outside of international waters off of Gaza, something the Israelis don't want. No American soldier who matters wants. And the only people who want this are Hamas, because it gives them American targets to lob rockets, send drones, and for those old enough to remember the USS Cole, suicide speedboats to attack. This is perfectly calculated to give Americans war fatigue over a war we're not involved in. Northern Alliance Radio Network. And we'll see some of the responses to this nationwide and in the state of Minnesota when we come back. Northern Alliance Radio Network, AM 1280. The Patriot, go nowhere.
What is dadication?
I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings.
That's dadication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov.
My dad says I'm his pride and joy.
My mommy says I was her big surprise.
My mom says I'm her best helper.
I'm adopted. My dad says I was a gift.
That's right, kids. Each of you are a miracle and a blessing from God. Hello, my name is Angie. I work with Pro-Life Across America, the billboard people. If you know someone who is pregnant and in need of confidential counseling, including alternatives to abortion or post-abortion assistance, please call Pro-Life Across America at 1-800-366-7773 or check us out online at ProLifeAcrossAmerica.org. Pro-Life Across America is educational, non-political, and tax-deductible. Please help support our life-saving outreach.
A baby child is being 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America, the billboard people.
Arby's Computer Service.
You and your business are online today more than ever. Most people are working from home and meeting via internet, and that means IT structures are overtaxed and Wi-Fi is humming. An outage in one of your critical systems now could be a fatal blow to your operation. Arby's Computer Service is ready and able to help. Their staff is standing by and prepared to offer assistance. If your business IT system experiences a failure, give Arby's a call. Their professional team of certified computer and networking specialists is experienced in diagnosing and solving a wide range of issues. With Arby's Computer Service on the job, you'll never have to worry about dealing with IT-related issues on your own, whether it's for your personal system or business. Arby's Computer Service knows that internet traffic is surging, and they're available now to help. You'll always get competitive pricing, trustworthy advice, and excellent customer service from Randy and his team at Arby's Computer Service.
Giving your computer problems the boot. Arby's Computer Service.
Been putting off vacation plans because you can't bear to be away from this station? Great news. You can listen to this radio station whenever, wherever, and however you want. Just download the station's app on your Apple or Android device, and your smartphone becomes your radio. Prefer apps like TuneIn, iHeart, or Odyssey.com? You can find us there as well. Got a smart speaker like Amazon Echo or Google Home? Just say our name and ask it to play this station. Or listen from the radio station website on any device you'd like, even on vacation. We're always on Freedom 1570.
You can listen to AM 1280 The Patriot on all Amazon Echo devices. Simply ask Alexa to play The Patriot Minneapolis, and you'll hear your favorite hosts.
This is Dennis Prager, and thanks for listening to me on your Alexa device.
AM 1280 The Patriot, the Northern Alliance Radio Network, day one, year 21. By the way, with the Patriot half-off deals program, you can save how much? Huh. Half-off deals. I'm going to say 50% off on great products and services, including Breathe Freedom from Nicotine. You can kick that habit. Save tons of jing. Lots of cheddar. All that cash when you quit smoking, chewing, vaping, all the bad habits. It's a smart investment in your well-being, and today you can save, guess how much? I'm going to say half off. You'd be right. Off of Breathe Therapy via the Patriot half-off deals program. Go to am12athepatriot.com and click on the half-off deals icon, or just call 651-405-8800. That's 651-405-8800. Or am12athepatriot.com, the font of all of life's wonderful blessings here in the Twin Cities, at least the ones that we control on this planet. Anyway,
talking about the president and his State of the Union message. And why? And of course, I didn't watch it. I caught some clips afterwards because I kept hearing what an entertaining spectacle it was watching him basically, I've heard it described as old man yelling at a cloud passing by. He Biden has this, I got to stop and say this. I give speaker points. My father was a speech teacher. I have been speaking for one form of another of a living for much of my adult life. I value good oratory. American politics is where good oratory, as a general rule, goes to die. There are a few politicians in America who can speak, who can string together a good speech. Joe Biden has not been one of them in my entire, well, unless he's plagiarizing Neil Kinnock, Joe Biden has never been one of them. Kids, ask your parents. At any rate, for example, in the UK, not only do you have to be able to give a good speech to show up on the radar, but when you are speaking in the House of Commons, you can be heckled. You can be heckled to within an inch of your life. You have to have the oratorical chops of a stand-up comic and a good one to make it in British politics. In America, not so much. At any rate, it was a terrible speech, but one of the things it does tell you is it elucidates the strategy that the left and Biden, or at least Biden's handlers, think they need to follow to win this thing this fall. And that is to chase to the left, to solidify the base. They think this is going to be another year like 2012, where as long as you get every person with a pulse, and perhaps some without pulses, who have ever said the D word, that would be Democrat, get them to the polls, it'll be enough people to win. Well, that was back when Barack Obama was popular on the left, frighteningly unpopular on the right, which is why they got the base out to vote. That's what got, and by the way, that was not what happened in 2020. That was a whole lot of people who were deeply ambivalent about Donald Trump and a whole lot of people who turned out in droves because of COVID-era voting, let's just say, conveniences that don't exist these days. So Biden, or at least his handlers, because it's not like President Biden is actually running his own campaign or really running anything about the administration, Biden is figuring this is a turnout-the-base election, and it shows. Thing is, the base is not all that solid, especially as we saw on primary night on the issue of the Palestinians. By the way, some Democrats will say, hey, uncommitted wasn't just about Palestine. Okay, yeah, there may have been a thin film of people who were there on other issues, but the demographics were pretty loud and clear. The uncommitted vote was driven by people on the far left, far, far, far left, who desperately want to make this election, or at least the Democrat nomination, about Palestine, and or Palestine, about Israel, about the war between Gaza and Israel. And it shows. And it showed during the State of the Union speech, as you could see where the sympathies lay. He said one sentence about, say, the woman who was about Laken Riley, who was murdered by an illegal immigrant, and a paragraph or two about the need to treat illegal immigrants well. By the way, he accidentally let the quiet part slip and called them illegals at one point, using that, which he took a lot of flack from the left about here. They're saying the loud, loud, loud part out loud. And it brings up an interesting conundrum for the Democrats. Ben Shapiro talked about this a couple weeks ago, week before last, I believe. If you look at issue by issue by issue, Donald Trump is the moderate. Joe Biden is racing hard for the left, and Donald Trump is the moderate. You look at issue after issue. I mean, the most 80-plus percent of Americans support Israel defeating terror on their borders, making sure another October 7th doesn't happen again. And yet, Joe Biden is calling for American boots, not on the ground, but on the water, well within missile range off the coast of Gaza. So, in other words, let's make sure we're clear on this. American troops in a place where they're really not allowed to shoot back, lest they start a regional war, which is, by the way, what Iran wants, able to do nothing but deliver supplies to who? The civilians of Gaza? only if you have American Marines on the shore making sure it gets to the people of Gaza, because that's all that's happened with all this humanitarian aid that people are airdropping because no one wants to drive a truck to Gaza because the Hamas will kill the drivers. They have killed the drivers. No truck driver in the Arab world wants to go to Gaza. So the Jordanian Air Force is dropping food, occasionally with tragic results. A pallet of supplies had a parachute that didn't open. And you know what happens when parachutes don't open? It turns into a food bomb. Killed several people. According to the Hamas health ministry, 800 or 900 people. At any rate, that's one of the issues where Donald Trump is to the center of Joe Biden. He supports Israel. He supports ending the terror threat to Israel. And by the way, protecting the advances his administration made on Middle East peace before they were interrupted by 2020. Another one's immigration. Most Americans, especially Latino Americans, want the border closed. And yet, here is the attitude of the left-wing base that is driving President Biden's vote. This is from MSNBC, the cut to the cackling hens.
I mean, if you look at some of these exit polls, I mean, I live in Virginia. Immigration was the number one issue. Yes. Of course, I mean, again, these could change in Virginia.
Well, Virginia does have a border with West Virginia. Very contested area.
Build a wall. Like, what?
This is not only the contempt they have for the mainstream American view on immigration, and let's make sure we reinforce this, the mainstream Latino view on immigration. Hey, what? No, you look at the polls of how Americans by demography react to the situation on the border. And Americans in general favor controlling immigration, whether it's by a wall or whether it's at least by making sure people immigrate legally via the process laid down in the law. And the president is doing his level best to deflect away from what the vast majority of American citizens want. And when you look at the polls broken out by demographics, the Latino vote, without regard to what party they're in, is much more hawkish on the border than the Democrats are. That was one of the things that we took away from the elections in 2020 and the special elections before 2022 and the 2022 election. Latinos along the border, Latino citizens, are swinging to the right. They're joining the Republican Party. And they're pretty darn conservative about it. One of the primaries that happened this last week was in, I think, Texas 24, which runs from San Antonio down to El Paso, more or less. A extremely entertaining gun tuber named Brandon Herrera ran against Ruben Gonzalez. I forget his first name. He's the representative in the area. Last name's Gonzalez. He's a moderate Republican, as befits a Republican who has been in office in what was, within the last 15, 20 years, supposed to be an area that was inexorably turning blue because of the wave of Latino immigration, legal and otherwise, in the area. Up until 2000, by the way, in fact, well into the 2000s, the going assumption from everyone on the right, everyone on both sides, was that they were that Texas was inevitably, eventually, going to turn blue. Brandon Herrera is forced the election to a runoff. Of course, the incumbent kept 50% of the not quite 50% of the vote. Brandon Herrera, by the way, a very entertaining Second Amendment YouTuber. Not safe for work, but incredibly entertaining, came in second. He'll be going to a runoff here shortly. So this is how conservative the Latino voter base is. They don't want that border open. And yet the Democrats, well, you see what they're thinking. So here in Minnesota, a place that the Democrats routinely consider safer than safe, and not without reason, well, they're going to have to run to the crazy side, too. In fact, the Democrats have been running toward the crazy side for quite some time. This brings us to a quote this past week from Senator Aaron May Quaid of Apple Valley. Go ahead, roll cut one.
I, as a parent, really hope the practice of telling our children when they should have sex, which is what abstinence-based sex education is, can stop happening. Because I think it's weird when adults tell children when they should be having sex, no matter when that is.
Oh, good Lord. There is so much to unpack in that statement right there. And we're going to do exactly that when we come back. Because this tells you a little bit about some of the crazy that the Democrats in general are going to have to compensate for as they head towards this election season. Coming up, 8 months away right now. Northern Alliance Radio Network, AM 1280 The Patriot. Go nowhere. We'll be right back.
Retirement doesn't have to be complicated. Are you sick of all the fancy charts and investment mumbo-jumbo thrown at you to justify the Wall Street fees you're being charged? It's not the size of your nest egg that matters, but rather the income it can produce. Hi, I'm Mitch Lyons, best-selling author and star in a brand new Hollywood documentary called The Retirement Deception. In this film, we traveled over 20,000 miles interviewing real Americans who have retired successfully with a great lifestyle and peace of mind. They share their stories on how they get more retirement income with the same dollar saved, and the money is never at risk if the market crashes. That's right. If the market crashes 30%, you lose nothing. Even the super wealthy are shifting money into this new strategy because it increases their retirement income or can allow them to stop working years sooner. So if you are over 50 and want a bigger, better, stress-free retirement, call today to speak to a specialist and get a free copy of this brand new movie, The Retirement Deception. Call 888-365-1409. This is a $30 value, but when you call today, you get it completely free. So don't delay. Call right now, 888-365-1409. That's 888-365-1409.
China is attacking the U.S. patent system, stealing American innovations, and we are helping them do it.
The Chinese Communist Party intends to surpass us and to be the world leader in innovative technology.
Innovation Race, the shocking new movie from the Tea Party Patriots, exposes the truth. China will use our own technology to threaten our economic and military security.
Dominating technology means you dominate the world itself. This is a race that we cannot afford to lose because we're not going to have a country.
If China gains control over 5G technology with a flip of a switch, they could remotely turn off our phones, our cars, even our power grid.
We've lost sight of what it is to protect this nation.
We need to up our game.
In today's high-tech world, there's no prize for second place. Watch Innovation Race. Available now on demand or DVD at salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.
Be honest about who is taking advantage of us and keeping us divided.
To be black in America today is to be labeled and used.
But it's not because America is a systemically racist country.
It is not.
It is not.
It's not.
It's because the loudest voices who say they have all the answers are actually the problem.
There are progressive forces and organizations dividing us as a people and as a country.
They stoke hatred and division
to hide the real problems
and keep us angry. We've seen this pattern repeat itself over and over again.
We have to take a new course.
And now is the time to return to our cultural roots of faith, family, and education.
Take Charge Minnesota believes that America works for everyone, regardless of race or social standing. Please help counter the cultural narrative by watching the film I Am a Victor this month. Go to AM 1280 The Patriot and click on the I Am a Victor banner on the homepage. And you can get more information by going to TakeChargeMN.com.
AM 1280 The Patriot, Northern Alliance Radio Network. Starting year 21 of dominating all Twin Cities media, all kinds. Print, video, TV, podcasts, print, radio. We own it all. We own it all so completely that they have to limit us to 8 hours a week just to make it a fair fight. Those 8 hours, myself, Jack, Tom Zach, the subhead, coming up at 3 o'clock. Brad Carlson tomorrow from 1 to 3 on AM 12A The Patriot. Of course, Charter Narn member King Banyan every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 on his sister station, AM 1440, The Businessman, continuing our domination of all Twin Cities media of all kinds, whoever they are, whatever you are, however you do the thing you do. By the way, free
Freedom Fan Club members get premium content and on-demand access to their favorite local shows. Just click podcasts at am1280thepatriot.com. There, you can violate the space-time continuum and get access to a deep archive of interviews, conversations on the huge happenings of the week, and other hot topics and important issues. By the way, you go out there, everything that we produce locally here, including myself, the closer, the subhead, and King Banyan, they're all out there. You can check us all out at am1280thepatriot.com/podcasts for those of you who like to take your radio with you rather than the other way around. At any rate, we're talking about the level of crazy. I shouldn't say crazy. I'm talking about the level of progressive hyperactivism that the Democratic candidates up and down the ticket are going to have to compensate for in their election. Now, the Democrats here in the DFL here in Minnesota are probably breathing a small sigh of relief and that they're only running for the House this time around and a Senate seat. We'll be talking much more about that. But the House and the congressional seats are all that's up for grabs this time. And they are certainly nervous about the second congressional district. Angie Craig remains vulnerable as ever in the second CD. The third, well, I mean, if the GOP pulls its act together and fights back against some demographic issues, the third could be in play. That's going to be a bigger, let's call that a stretch goal. But let's remember, Minnesota, even 20 years ago, was a 5-3 state. And 10 years before that was a 6-2 state, 6 DFL, 2 Republicans. So people who say that this is a hard blue state when we are 4-4 and could be a 5-3 Republican state in Congress, I mean, that's just sort of either not really keeping up on things or giving into despair. One is a human trait. The other is a bit of a sin. We're going to work on both of those here. The Democrats have a problem. They have a crazy problem. We'll come back to Aaron May Quaid in just a minute. I shouldn't have put those two subjects, crazy problem and Aaron May Quaid, in the same sentence like that. It's less than completely civil. But then so's Aaron May Quaid. Anyway, this is the problem that the Democrat faces. Here's the shot, as the kids are saying these days. A tweet from a couple of years back. This is AOC, who is known to some of us as the Aaron May Quaid of the Bronx. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. This is a tweet from, this would be 2020. And I quote, "The whole point of protesting is to make people uncomfortable. Activists take that." I know I sound like the marvelous Mrs. Maisel there. It's just not a great Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez impression. Work with me here. "The whole point of protesting is to make people uncomfortable. Activists take that discomfort with the status quo and advocate for concrete policy changes. Popular support often starts small and grows. To people who complain, protest demands to make others uncomfortable. That's the point." That's AOC 4 lousy years ago. AOC this past week, as she is accosted outside of Dune, outside of a movie theater somewhere in D.C., "It's messed up, Matt." She didn't say messed up. She said something that would get this station's license challenged come next renewal time. "It's messed up, man." AOC has a total meltdown when confronted leaving a movie theater by fellow progressives who demand, and this ties back to the uncommitted movement that tripped up Joe Biden ever so slightly nationwide, and especially here in Minnesota, demanded she say the word genocide. Now, every member of the so-called squad, Cori Bush, Ayanna Pressley, Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, have been completely upfront about their, let's just say, disdain for Israel. In the case of Rashida Tlaib, I think we can, and perhaps Ilhan Omar, we can trip over the line to overt hatred for Israel. I mean, overt anti-Semitism. The constant repeating of blood libels. And by the way, AOC has done the same. She's done that in her entire career. She cares about Israel about the same way that a dog cares about a pork chop. It's something for someone to eat. She may not eat it herself, but you get the picture here. And she has been crystal clear
about her disdain for the Jewish state her entire career. She has been marginally less vociferous about it than Rashida Tlaib, who actually earned money from a working as a community activist for an organization that was closely allied to Hamas, to the Muslim Brotherhood, to the people who are actively supporting terror and genocide against the Jewish people from the river to the sea. She worked for them. She collected a paycheck from the same people who were sending the money to buy rockets and build tunnels and build the Hamas Health Ministry's spinner for numbers. And yet, the far left is chasing AOC down the street, literally demanding that she say the word genocide again. And I can't play the audio because there's a number of, let's just say, FCC no-nos involved in the video here and didn't feel like editing them all out because it's just AOC. I'd rather listen to, honestly, listen to cats wrestling in a bag than AOC talking, much less yelling, much less being yelled at by a bunch of people who are even more annoying than she. But she, because she will not bark the word genocide on command like a well-trained schnauzer, is being chased down the street by protesters now, who are to her left on the issue of should progressive congresswomen be forced, compelled to bark out the word genocide on command like a good little girl scritching behind the ears. That's what the Democratic Party, or at least its activist extreme, or as AOC put it, the small group from which popular support often starts and grows, and discomforting the status quo, which she is, that's the way the party has turned. That's what Joe Biden is looking at when he sees 20% of his votes in safe places like Minnesota. Saying, I'm going to stay uncommitted. So this is what the Democrats are facing. Now, there are Republicans out there, I should say, who are, I'm going to say, exaggeratedly exuberant about the uncommitted vote and about the polling that shows the percentage of Democrats, including Democrat-based voters, especially the youth vote, in all these elections, in demographic after demographic, in poll after poll, most of the Real Clear Politics averages, how unenthusiastic Democrats are about the, especially the Democrat base is about Joe Biden and his candidacy. And in the case of the uncommitted vote, or the vast majority of that 20% that stayed uncommitted this past Tuesday, how hostile to him they are becoming if he does not, like AOC, barked the word genocide on command. He came ever so close. He tried to walk that line. The president tried to walk that line in the State of the Union speech, saying it's terrible that people are murdering and raping Israelis. But boy, look at all that humanitarian care. By the way, uncritically citing Hamas Health Ministry numbers, which is about the same as uncritically citing Baghdad Bob in 2003 or Joseph Goebbels in 1945. This is where the Democratic Party is at. Now, as I've said, there's some of the irrational exuberance about the numbers from the Republican side. I can't participate in this. Part of it is having been stung by the red wave talk last time around, which the record will show I did not participate in. Call it my innate small-town Scandinavian pessimism, or call it the fact that the Democrat and media, pardon the redundancy, are able to mobilize a lot of votes around chanting points like abortion in the immediate wake of the overturning of Roe versus Wade. I mean, this is sort of like the Republican war on women in 2012, same basic dynamic. Repeat a chanting point that the less critical can chant on command and get stampeded to the polls. That being said, there is one overwhelming characteristic that makes me ever so slightly nervous about the upcoming race, and that is Democrat voters, and I say this with all due respect and civility, Democrat voters are herd animals. they are like cattle or goats or sheep, and that they will go where told and do what they're told at the end of the day. They may run around the pasture, but once that dinner bell clangs, they head for that corral. Come election time, Democrats always come home. You will note that because there has not been an endorsed DFL candidate for governor that won the governor's race since, trivia question, when was that? 2006. Mike Hatch was the last endorsed Democrat. He was to the left of the field back then. He'd pass for a moderate Republican today, by the way, Mike Hatch. So let's talk about that when we come back, how this traces back to Aaron May Quaid. Oh, yes, it does. Everything does. Let's take a break. Northern Alliance Radio Network, AM 1280, The Patriot. Mitch Berg, beginning year 21. Go nowhere. You are another rain from the tears in my eyes.
Whether you're preparing for a typical Sunday morning or a special holiday service, you'll find an array of helpful, creative tools from Worship House Media. From countdown timers to sermon illustrations, visit worshiphousemedia.com. That's worshiphousemedia.com, a division of Salem Media Group.
We all know that aches and pains come with simply getting older, but it doesn't mean you have to accept it. That's why I want to tell you about a special lady, Leah from Ohio, and her Relief Factor story. One Sunday, Leah was sitting on the couch in so much pain, she was literally in tears. That's when she decided to try Relief Factor. Just 8 days later, she found relief, and she continued to get better and better. To quote her, she said, "I am truly amazed at this product. Like me, who after 9, almost 10 years, almost a decade of low back pain, lost that pain thanks to Relief Factor. If you're living with aches and pain, see how Relief Factor, a daily drug-free supplement, could help you feel and live better every day. Get the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. It all comes with a feel better or your money back guarantee. That number, 1-800-4-RELIEF, relieffactor.com.
It takes teamwork to stay safe on Minnesota roads during the winter. You can help. When you see snowplows at work, slow down. Slower speeds can save lives. Don't crowd the plow and leave plenty of space between yourself and other vehicles. Keep your headlights on to see and be seen. Avoid distractions and always stay alert behind the wheel. This message brought to you by the Minnesota Department of Transportation, the Minnesota Broadcasters Association, and this station.
My dad says I'm his pride and joy.
My mommy says I was her big surprise.
My mom says I'm her best helper.
I'm adopted. My dad says I was a gift.
That's right, kids. Each of you are a miracle and a blessing from God. Hello, my name is Angie. I work with Pro-Life Across America, the billboard people. If you know someone who is pregnant and in need of confidential counseling, including alternatives to abortion or post-abortion assistance, please call Pro-Life Across America at 1-800-366-7773 or check us out online at ProLifeAcrossAmerica.org. Pro-Life Across America is educational, non-political, and tax-deductible. Please help support our life-saving outreach.
A baby child is being 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America, the billboard people.
You listen every day.
I never miss it.
So now it's time for you to join the conversation.
Who, me?
Like AM 1280 The Patriot on Facebook and share your thoughts with like-minded conservatives. You can also enter to win prizes, learn about upcoming events, and more.
AM 1280 The Patriot, the Northern Alliance Radio Network. Hey, don't forget, SalemNewsChannel.com is a news channel that loves America, isn't afraid to admit it. You can check out your favorite hosts like Dennis Prager, Hugh Hewitt, Brandon Tatum, Sebastian Gorka. On the channel that believes freedom of speech and religion are absolutely fundamental to what we do. We put truth ahead of agenda. We will not be bullied by big tech, big government, the FBI, any of the big bullies in society. Salem News Channel stands against them. By the way, you'll notice that Brad, Jack, King, and I are not among the people on Salem News Channel.
All I can say is we've had this happen before. If there's a hue and cry to get us there, just as there was hue and cry for a Narn table at station events, I mean, what's the station going to do? Say, oh, shut up and go away? No, no. Just saying. We can make this happen, people. 651-289-4488, the number to call normally. I just repeated that by reflex because actually this is a pre-recorded broadcast. I know, right? I sound live, don't I? This is a pre-recorded broadcast. I'm actually heading off on assignment even as we speak. However, normally you can call at that number. And by the way, starting at 3 o'clock when Jack Tomczyk, the subhead, comes in, he will. I should probably ask him if he wants to do a mulligan on that name because Harry Niska gave him that name and it was pure genius. But We'll maybe see if he wants a recount after the show today. So anyway, Northern Alliance Radio Network, AM 1280, The Patriot. So we're talking about the State of the Union and how this marks the fact that, that the DFL and the Democrats in general have to push hard to the not just hard, but hard to the left, or at least they think that's what they're supposed to do. And it's kind of interesting in the classic Minnesota sense of the term, because you look at public opinion polling on issue after issue after issue, on the border, about abortion, about transgender rights, about immigration in general, about Israel, about NATO, about Ukraine. And the American people are to the middle, not as conservative as perhaps you and I would like, but certainly not as far to the left as big left and the Biden campaign needs you to be. And that has to be worrisome to Democrats. Maybe not here in Minnesota because they're looking at only having to try and reelect the state house, a Senate, one U.S. senator, and of course the eight congressional candidates here. They're facing a tough race in the in Senate House District 2. That's Angie Craig. And, of course, they're keenly aware that they are ahead by exactly 4 votes, and several of those races are tenuously held by in areas where Donald Trump won in 2016. And they can be forgiven for not being especially confident, especially since they did 2 years ago what the Democrats nationwide are doing today. They pushed hard to the left. They took the fact that a tiny majority of people, really, I mean, it was such a thin majority in a couple of swing districts that got them control of the House and the Senate. One vote in the Senate, and on some issues, too, because Karen Housley, let's be honest, is voting way to the center left, if you will, on gun issues. And on that, we will have words at some point here. But on all these other issues, the DFL has gone far to the left of even Democrats in Minnesota outside the 494-694 circle. And they've done it unapologetically, fully realize that they have to grab while the grabbing is good when it comes to power. And notwithstanding the fact that Tim Walz ran as something of a moderate, I mean, let's be honest, the only reason he beat the endorsed candidates, Aaron Murphy and who? Aaron May Quaid? Why, yes. The circle will close here shortly. He did that by mollifying the far, far, far left by bringing on Peggy Flanagan, who during her legislative career was to the left of Aaron Murphy, to the left of Aaron May Quaid, to the left of Keith Ellison, who, by the way, didn't get endorsed in the convention process. He's too far to the center for the craziest among the DFL activists. Nonetheless, they're grabbing all the power they can. And I think it may be fair to say that on some issues, they have crossed, to paraphrase a movie and a book, a bridge too far. Let's go back to cut one, Aaron May Quaid, talking in a Senate committee this past week about abstinence-based education.
I, as a parent, really hope the practice of telling our children when they should have sex, which is what abstinence-based sex education is, can stop happening. Because I think it's weird when adults tell children when they should be having sex, no matter when that is.
But you don't think it's weird telling parents what they should do in terms of teaching their children about ethics, about morals, about how to grow through life without throwing your life off the rails by having a baby before you're ready. She doesn't think that's creepy. Now, we'll talk more about that in the next hour. In the next hour, we're going to keep things more to Minnesota here, the state where freedom currently, as the government is currently constituted, where freedom goes to die because of the likes of Erin May Quaid and the rest of her crowd. By the way, Erin May Quaid represents Apple Valley, which prompts me to ask, what is going on down there, Apple Valley? You're not crazy. You're not stupid. I know many of you. Why are you doing? Why do you keep sending this person to the legislature? By the way, I mean, this is a statement, what she said. Parents shouldn't be teaching their kids, you know, things like not to have sex before they're married, because she finds it creepy. Of course, what's creepier is the fact that she is munificently supported by Planned Parenthood and parents not teaching their kids not to have sex before they're married, which, by the way, is a great way to make sure your kids do not grow up in poverty, making sure they finish high school, don't have kids until they're married to someone, and go out and get a job as soon as they're able and start earning their way is the best. I mean, 2% of the population that meets those three criteria are in poverty, whereas those who don't, it's well into double digits and north of that sometimes. Erin May Quaid, however, by not wants a policy whereby not teaching kids not to have sex until you're ready to for the consequences is making sure that one of her prime donors, Planned Parenthood, always has a steady supply of business coming through the door. Ah, now I'm going to ask you, if you ask Minnesotans, average Minnesotans, especially new Minnesotans, immigrants, should parents stay out of their kids' lives when it comes to teaching morality, ethics, responsibility? Do you think Erin May Quaid and the DFL she leads might be a little to their left? We'll come right back. Go nowhere. Northern Alliance, AM 1280, The Patriot. We will be right back.
Join Gene Sullivan each week on Where You Live, where he takes on... Gene, who do you take on anyway?
Maniacal landlords, slippery renters, overbearing HOA boards, demanding homeowners. Oh, and the legislative lunacy brought on by local politicians wanting to fix everything for us.
It's a common sense perspective on the news and stories that affect you the most, right where you live. Join Gene Sullivan every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on AM 1280, The Patriot.
This is Dennis Prager. I am excited to announce the all-new Pragertopia Plus. You can listen to my show whenever it's convenient for you, all commercial-free and all on demand. Now with Prager Plus, search topics, guests, and segments all the way back to 2010. And now a truly exciting new benefit, my monthly online video get-together for Pragertopia Plus members only. This is where, for an hour each month, Pragertopia Plus members get an exclusive chance to ask me anything. That's right, anything. It's on video. I'll be talking to you and answering your questions. We may even have a special guest every now and then. I've never done this. Submit your questions for me at Pragertopia.com. This is only available to Pragertopia Plus members. This is our chance to connect like never before. Go to Pragertopia.com or click the banner at DennisPrager.com.
Over 50,000 police officers are assaulted on the job each year, leading to injuries and death. This is the reality they deal with when making contact with the public. Another reality is that if someone doesn't comply with a lawful order or uses force against them, police may have to use sufficient force in response to obtain compliance. Use of force is always ugly. Nobody likes it, especially police, and nobody knows how it will turn out. Spread the word. For de-escalation to work, both parties must de-escalate, and de-escalation isn't necessary if there is no escalation. Help police by not escalating. Don't attack or try to disarm an officer, whether it's getting asked a question, getting a citation, or getting arrested. Don't argue. Don't resist. Don't flee. After the encounter has been resolved is the time to address any complaints. Comply now, complain later. Keep everybody safe. This message brought to you by the National Police Association. To learn more about how to help law enforcement accomplish its goals, visit nationalpolice.org.
Hi, it's Mike Gallagher. I start every day by reading through the stories at Daybreak Insider. It's a look at today's most compelling stories and provides responses from key conservatives in media and politics. Over 250,000 people get Daybreak Insider by email daily, and it's available to you at no cost. Go to DaybreakInsider.com and simply plug in your email. That's DaybreakInsider.com. In 5 minutes, you will be the most informed person in the office. That's DaybreakInsider.com.
AM 12.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.